Georgia Supreme Court Leo Frank Appeals Documents, 1913-1914, page 1038 slide. Visible translated text is as follows. Redirect examination. The first time I saw Mr. Frank put any tape on, he didn't say anything about it being any trouble. The last time he put it on, he said something about that he wasn't used to putting it on. He was holding the lever there, and he got it on twice, and he had put it on wrong, and he would have to slip it out and put it back. When Mr. Frank came out rubbing his hands, he came out of his inner office into the outer office and from there in front of the clock. I did not go down in the basement as far as the boiler during the night, except when I discovered the body. The officers talked to me the whole time. I didn't get to sleep hardly day or night, just the time I would get ready to go to sleep. Here they was after me. Then I would go back to my cell, stay a while, and then another would come and get me. They carried me where I could sleep, but they wouldn't let me stay there long enough to sleep. I didn't get no sleep until I went over to the jail, and I didn't get no sleep at jail for about 2 weeks. That was before the coroner's inquest, when I was first arrested. When I went back to the jail, I was treated nicely. As to who talked to me longer, Mr. Frank or Black, Mr. Black did. Mr. Arnold talked to me longer than Mr. Frank did on April 29th. In the southwest corner is some toilets for men and women, L.S. Dobbs, sworn for the state. I am a sergeant of police. On the morning of April 27th, at about 5:25, a call came from the pencil factory that there was a murder up there. We went down in Boots Rogers' automobile. When we got there, the door was locked. We knocked on the door, and in about 2 minutes, the Negro came down the steps and opened up the door and said there was a woman murdered in the basement. We went through a scuttle hole, a small trap door. The Negro led the way back in the basement to the location on the left leading from the elevator. The basement is about 20 feet wide. The Negro led the way back about 150 feet and we found the body. The girl was lying on her face, not directly lying on her stomach, with the left side on the ground, the right side up just a little. We couldn't tell by looking at her whether she was white or black, only by her golden-colored hair. They turned her over and her face was full of dirt and dust. They took a piece of paper and rubbed the dirt off of her face, and we could tell then that it was a white girl. I pulled up her clothes, and we could tell by the skin of her knee that she was a white girl. Her face was punctured, full of holes, and was swollen and black. She had a cut on the left side of her head, as if she had been struck, and there was a little blood there. The cord was around her neck, sunk into the flesh. She also had a piece of her underclothing around her neck. The cord was still tight around her neck. The tongue was pro.